Hey guys, this is episode 6 of Part Time Rambles. Today we have Tyan.
Hey, what's up?
Kyle.
Yeah, that's me.
And Connor.
How's it going?
So today we're going to be talking about magic and the cultures, the different cultures, positive and negative connotations of it. Later we'll get into more fun stuff like scenarios and stuff like that, but we want to start off getting the actual history of it and like the reality of magic. And Tyne, you can go ahead and start us off.
Okay. So as far as like history of magic and the cultures and stuff, I think it's very interesting how in a lot of the older Eastern cultures, their relationship with magic and the naturalness, it seems a lot more positive. Like whether or not you believe if magic exists, as far as it goes on, they weren't very negative towards those people. Like when you have Western cultures, as when we start progressing towards those eras and you have a lot of Western cultures and you get the Salem witch trials and a ton of other witch trials, you have a whole negative aspect towards magic, especially when it's like, oh, you could have just not believed in it and it'd been fine. But why is in one culture does it seem so, oh, you can just tolerate it and move on? And the others, it kind of stems towards this other idea of it being so negative. And yeah, if y'all want to take from there.
I mean, I guess it probably stems from like a single god religions. Because I guess back in, in Eastern cultures, like some of my family and stuff that come from like pagan religions, or like pagan cultures, so much more open to knowing that there were multiple gods or things like that. But at the same time, I guess, when it came down to like Christianity started to come around, Catholicism and all that stuff, it seems more like they were afraid of it because that could challenge, their singular god kind of idea instead of the multiples. But as far as it being unacceptable, any religion, I guess they were saying in that description that Wiccan and these other, like, I don't know if you would call them cult-like religions or like these other ones, but neo-pagan religions and stuff now that have multiple gods and stuff, they're never like endangered by it. But when it comes to Christianity, I think like when it came down to these other like witchcrafts or things like that, they saw them as like opposing religions or opposing beliefs to what they wanted the masses to believe. So pretty much if you spoke anything about magic, I guess like in a Western culture, or at least from like, my family's culture stuff, clashing with Western culture, of course they hated them because they had so many multiple gods. And then because, if you talk like Norse mythology, there was a lot of magic in that. And yeah, they used drugs and stuff to, what they thought was, would provoke prophecy and vision and
the connection.
So they defined kind of the magic, like of course lightning, and every time lightning struck, it was Thor banging his hammer on his anvil, and all this. And they believed, Thor's magic or whatever was created the lightning and his wrath, and they thought it was more of a sign and magic than actually manifesting and being something. But if they happened to be in battle or something and someone was struck by lightning, which could happen, it's in the north, it's tall mountains and they're clad in armor and steel,
and if they're fighting a raid, especially on ships and stuff.
So to them, magic was a natural phenomena, but that's what they would, liken it to. Thor, and a god, and bam, it must have been Thor. Like, this was prophecy. As far as witchcraft and stuff, I couldn't really tell you. And I mean, as far as magic goes, like that and that in that regard. Mm-hmm. That's what I know about.
I think yeah, I think it's still kind of similar. As far as magic in those regards, it all kind of stems back. That's why I think it is so interesting that you have this total like rejection of magic when you get into Western culture. And like I get it, you have this single god and oh, it's all of goes stems back to him, and that's there's no such thing as magic. But then also like that god's son does magic all the time. Like I would say replicating fish and healing people would be considered magic.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, oh, like you accept that these things happen and it's okay to do, but like to do them is now not okay seems very weird.
Well, sorry if I interject, but maybe it's because, you know, if it's not their magic, you know, like it's not their religion or their magic, then it's very threatening. So it's like, of course, I guess if we're picking on Christianity, then like God and Jesus.
Sorry.
Know, if God and Jesus were, you know, they're the ones that are prescribing to, you know, magic and things like that, the burning bush and snakes and parting seas and raising from the dead and all of this and his miracles.
Yeah.
Like, of course, you know, but if it, of course, it's heresy if it's not Jesus or anything like that. And I believe what they were striking down people like that, like that should be God's power, God's will, and all that stuff. So maybe that's why.
Sorry. No, go on.
I was just gonna say I think you're making a really good point. Just kind of going back to like the. When you mentioned like single god versus multiple gods, from everything that I've like I haven't this isn't a subject I've extensively studied, but from what I've picked up over the years, because it was just something that was always interesting, I feel like kind of like what y'all mentioned, like at first it wasn't necessarily to the people that practiced it in ancient religions and societies, like it wasn't seen as something supernatural. Like it almost like it was most of the time, I feel like it was regarded as just a natural extension of the world. Like it was a way for us to, another way for us to interact with the world and with each other and with perception and like talking about, like Tyne mentioned, like using herbs and things like that. Like it's like if I'm not 100% sure, I can look it up right now, but I think like just getting into like the meaning or origins of the word magic, I think it like the very first origins of that word translated like roughly to like wisdom or philosophy. So it was like, I feel like it was a school of thought and a way of understanding and interacting with the world. And like you're talking about, like our ancestors, right, seeing lightning or strike somebody, that's not something that is easily explainable or understood in that moment. So of course we explain it the best way we can, and then enter, like we said, enter Christian theology. And I feel like that's when associations started to be made between magic, I feel like, and more negative things like demons and bad stuff. And I wonder if that has to do also with like the fact that magic is at least the way that the people that were afraid of it potentially maybe saw it as like you're not supposed to have that kind of power, like only God can have that kind of power, or angels. I don't know if that makes sense. Like humans aren't supposed to have any kind of power to influence the world around them beyond their in that way. I don't know if that's
no. So to me that makes sense. And kind of what I'm getting here is, you guys have all talked, and the main thing we're getting to is, and this can go into the connotations, is that basically, depending on the religion and what the religion was used for, determines the way people thought of magic as a whole. So if you're religious and you're Catholic or Christian, or, you know, one of those, it's a fact that whether you believe it or not, that in the past, religion was used to control a lot of people. It was used to control the mass. So it's reasonable that they would use that, and any other type of source that showed any type of other power, they'd rule it out because it would interfere with controlling the masses. So that could be why the Western people see it as less in a positive light.
Well, yeah. So what I think the word for it is divinity, right? Divinity is basically magic reserved only for the gods of Christianity, you know. So
yeah, it's champion magic, basically.
Yeah, so basically, you know, this divine magic, divine rule, right, whatever is absolute, and you know, so anything, like you were saying, anything else would be regarded as something lower, or not magic, or even then, you know, of course they had to create this opposing force, right, the devils, the demons, Satan, and all that. So anything that is not divine, you know, power, magic, miracle, is, you know, or is Satan, you know, it's some sort of devil magic, some sort of black magic or whatever, and was regarded, you know, in that negative light, probably because of that.
Well, what I want to really ask here is, because we've talked about it Western a little bit, but do we have any idea about how Eastern cultures see Eastern. It in general? Like, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be just black and white, but I'm sure it's totally different.
A lot of Eastern culture, at least in what I've viewed and seen, it's more nature based. So kind of similar to like the Norse kind of ideas, because they had gods too. It was polytheistic, but the idea of how they even viewed nature was already very different, and it's all like, oh, we're connected and we're one. You can see it in their painting and in their entire culture. So like magic to them was great. A lot of the times, like you see it in Night at the Museum when he freaking uses magic to make the Mongolian guy like all happy. Like, they cherish magic. It was something that was cool. Yeah, they didn't understand it, but like seeing it be performed and stuff, and people being able to do it was seen as like a good thing. It was an opening. It was a connection. It was a way to attain more power as well.
Definitely see it over in like Chinese culture and stuff, and they have dragons and a lot of the things, like their superpowers in general is that they've taught through kung fu and all that is like ki and chi and inner harmony and power, like
anime.
the weeb shit, right? Hiding in the shadows is a fucking ninja shit, you know? Like
they're very open and connected.
Yeah. But that's another multiple god culture, you know?
Because that's what I think, because that's where I think I kind of want to lead into, is like how these thoughts of magic affect our culture, and does having... So yes, we know at this point certain things that we thought were magic aren't necessarily magic. Like, there's this science aspect, right? So first, does that mean, because there's science, does that mean magic cannot exist? And if it can exist, does that hurt our relationship with magic and with the world, because our culture has such a harsh and negative light on those subjects?
Well, I think that really depends on like how you perceive magic. If you perceive magic as like more towards a natural, an extension part of the world, then you wouldn't say it is excluded. But if you see magic as like telekinesis and stuff, then you're going to be against it. And I think a part of that is another reason why Western culture sees it as more primitive, because we're like, because the more we get educated, and the way we see magic is not natural, so we're like, no, we can prove that wrong. No, that doesn't work like that. And like, you get a lot more skeptics.
Is telekinesis not natural. Like, yes, you could say, science fiction? It's not considered like a nature thing. But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you could also make arguments to where telekinesis is connected enough that, yes, it's magic, but also you could give some scientific base. It's not crazy.
I think I could explain a lot of this scientifically if you think about it this way. And the way that you should think about it is that magic, for all intents and purposes, is that magic is just undefined science. And if you take about it that way, think about it. Electricity. It was magic before we figured it out. You know, gravity was magic before we figured it out. The stars and comets and signs and things like that, it was all just undefined science that was thought of, as magic at one point or another. And if you take telekinesis, I mean, what is telekinesis? Moving or manipulating objects or things at a distance, right?
With your mind, yeah.
So mentally, if you're able to do that with your mind, there's a thing called string theory in quantum physics. Now, string theory, as Einstein would say, was spooky action at a distance, right? Now, if you could gain mastery over manipulating atoms and things at a distance, like spooky action at a distance, then I guess you would then possess telekinetic power, because you could then manipulate something at a distance from your end. So I guess scientifically, that explains or could be what you would regard telekinesis as. But at the moment, since nobody's figured that out or anything or been able to prove it like that, then it's magic. It's a superpower. Well,
yeah, that makes sense. Do you have any thoughts, Connor?
I was just gonna. I found something kind of interesting. Apparently, the ancient Mesopotamians, according to this same kind of overview of the history of magic, the ancient Mesopotamians had no distinction between rational science and magic. It says that when a person became ill, doctors would prescribe both magical formulas to be recited as well as medicinal treatments. Most magical rituals were intended to be performed by an asipu, I think. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but there's an expert in the magical arts. The profession was generally passed down from generation to generation and was held in extremely high regard and often served as advisors to kings and leaders. And these people probably not only served as magician, but also physician, priest, scribe, and scholar. And so that makes me think, like, on the one hand, everything that was just said about like magic is science that we just don't understand, I 100% agree with that. And also, like, reading this, I can't help but also wonder at the same time too if another perspective of magic is potentially like thinking about the consciousness aspect and like the interplay between the physical world and our consciousness and our thoughts and perceptions. I'm wondering if like the reason why, like, for example, with the Mesopotamians, you had medicinal, like physical medicinal treatments along with magical incantation, was because they're in order for like a complete, for example, like in this case, healing to occur, there needed to be a union of both physical chemical properties along with psychological and conscious orientation towards that goal.
So, all right. So what I'm hearing right here, so based off of that, if we could take it back to, I guess, a Christian example, right? So you were saying priests, right? And priests are advisors. They have been to kings for years. Mm-hmm. Physicians as well. If you talk about like the medicinal and magical, right? take exorcism, right? And you know, if you look at the movies and you want to go that route, I mean, during exorcisms and the possession of demons, they physically do harm the host, while also at the same time, you know, is spiritually. So they stand there, and of course, priests, abbots, whoever's there, you know, nurses and all that, they all come together, and of course, physically, they have to sustain the patient, and then also magically with, you know, magical water, you know, holy water and shit, like splash the fuck out of this demon for whatever reason, and all those and incantations, the Latin phrases and everything, whatever, incantations to banish spirits or demons or whatever you would call it. As a Christian example, that's, I guess that's their version of that magical and, I guess, physical treatment, or I guess like in medicine.
So I really like that this was actually brought up, because I didn't think about it, but if you full-heartedly believe in something, even if someone was to try to explain that giving someone the medicinal stuff was enough and the incantations didn't matter, if you look at it from a psychological aspect, like you were pointing out, those things, if you full-heartedly believe in it, actually do help. And I'm pretty sure there's been studies, there's a reason why we use, there's experiments with placebos, where people get better even though, you know, all you were giving them was sugar water or whatever. So the psychological effect is also very important.
Power of mind is there.
That's the science behind that magic.
But that's because that's what I'm also like thinking though, right? It's like that's the science behind that magic. So now we wouldn't call it magic. So like in a world where you can do telekinesis, you no longer call it magic anymore because you can just do it.
So
right is kind of the idea.
Yeah, but you were asking if they can exist along each other. We're always going to be learning new things, and there's always going to be stuff that's not defined. So, the final answer is yes, because, like, there's always going to be things we don't understand.
Well, it's also not that they exist alongside each other anymore. It's now that they have a relationship.
Yeah,
the relationship
almost a causal relationship.
Is yeah, like, oh, is this magic? Like, what is this thing? And then, oh, you can replicate it, and that's why it's called science. Like,
yeah,
if we
magic is the question.
Magic.
Yeah, magic is the question. Science is the answer, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Or the best answer we can come up with.
Yeah. Well, so the answer is ever changing. That, you know, that's why science is so good. I mean, it's the same way you could talk to somebody. Someone could say, hey, would you like some pizza? There are multiple options. There's a yes. Yes, I would. Yes, I would like that very much. Or yes, I would like that very much because I love cheese. You know, like, there's all these different options and stuff. But
actually, I disagree. Just on, like, I'm thinking about, just in the question of, like, coexistence between science and magic, I feel like the first thing to emphasize is, or to point out, is that like the difference between science as like a practice, like the scientific method of like observing things around you, making a hypothesis, testing it, versus like science as an institution. Like, for example, like in the West, I feel like thinking of science as an institution versus magic, I feel like those can't exist, just in the sense that like, feel like one of the foundations of our institution of science in the West is like, I feel like one of the foundational principles of that institution is that we are cut off from reality, cut off from existence, from matter outside of our bodies. Like, there's no connection between our consciousness, our minds, and our internal experience and the outer world, except through our bodies, if we make physical contact.
That's actually perfect, because I was just about to ask that question.
So this is Matrix theory.
Of like the prayer idea, right, of saying, like, prayer has been shown to actually work. Whether there's a God or not is still not proven. But
what's
that
placebo effect?
If multiple people focus their will and intent on something happening, those things will happen more likely. So it's like this idea of, can you use your mind and like this other aspect of self? Like, are you something controlling this body, and that something is the spirit that can also interact with the other world around it, and these things are connected? Or is it literally just you are this body and that is it? Like Connor was saying, in the Western world, science, the foundation, the institution is saying you're just this body. But magic is saying, magic normally is saying, like, you can interact with the world with more than just your body. If that's what you're saying, Connor.
That's exactly my question.
Well, that's a great question, but I'll tell you, it is a dead-end question. Because that question only leads to more questions. And I'll tell you, that question is magical, and we won't know until we use science to figure it out. And as far as we know, the best answer is all we can give is we don't know right now. So as far as we know, we're all playing VR. Yeah. And we can all say that because, I mean, no one can say that it isn't true, you know?
And that's why I liked your answer, Kyle.
That's why it's at a dead end. We're just not at that point.
Have you seen the, so Tyne, you just reminded me, it was results of studies between 2007 and 2010, where they had large groups of people practicing a very specific meditation. And from what I remember, the data suggested that those groups of meditators made a statistically significant difference in violent crime in the cities where they practiced.
Oh, that's dope. It was not that one. It was a similar experiment, but it was on cancer patient remission.
Oh, yeah.
Similar data.
When we talk about positive things happening because of like things like that, like, I guess.
Well, so I think you can do negative too. I think you can flip it.
Oh yeah, there's many which ways you could twist it, but as far as the good, you know, and a collective will, and you know, it makes things happen because, I mean, as a community, I mean, I'm not religious, if you couldn't tell, but as far as like, you know, churches and Christianity and things go like that, and their magic, anything like it can do good. The community working towards good and like a common goal, like for the most part, the community of it is good. It's some of the other, you know, outdated teachings that are the bad parts, but you know, the placebo, there's this, the prayer, the community, compassion, the you know, sense of not being alone, and the comfort, you know, before death, you know, and that final answer, like, that's it can be good, you know, but I don't know.
Okay, yeah, no, I feel that. Why?
Maybe that's their magic.
Well, that's kind of what I think it is, and that's why I liked your answer of the science and then it becomes magic, because even if the Western idea is that, oh, we don't have this extra element of us, right, all they're saying is that's what our hypothesis is, and by what we're trying to do and what we work towards, we'll eventually prove that right or wrong. And then once that happens, then we'll delve into that of how do we control this now? Oh, wow, science is much more than this, because our bodies can do this and because of this and blah, 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 blah. Hmm.
So I guess the way that I think about it is that maybe magic could be a cause of science, because let's think about it this way. Like, if we go back in a scientific kind of explanation, electricity was the magic. We figured out how to use it, manipulate
it. How to harness it.
Yeah, how to use it, and then it became a science. But then as time went on, it spawned more magic, because then what could we do with the electricity? And it was that additional question, the additional magic, the what it was before, is there again. It's okay, so then electricity became magnetism. We could create magnetism, which could move objects without touching them. And what could we do with magnetism? You know, and there's so many much more things. And I guess it's the way that science goes about it is that they're not saying that magic isn't real. They're just saying that it's magic until they can understand it. Yeah. You know, so I guess if you think about it that way, that's kind of, maybe magic can be causal of science and vice versa, you know, and that's their relationship.
That would be sick, because that would make magic evolutionary. And if you look at it as an understanding value, then it's like, yeah, we understand electricity, right? But we don't really understand electricity. And if it's like through science and through like learning all of this stuff, we understand it to its actual core, is when we're actually able to then do the other stuff by, oh, now I can shoot electricity from my fingers because I know there's electricity pulsing through me, and I know how to charge my body with the other electricity around me, because now I fundamentally have grown in a world where that understanding was built through my genes, instead of just, I never knew what lightning was, a god spawned it.
I think it's very progressive, so it takes time. I don't know.
Yeah,
what do you think about that?
What?
I hadn't heard your voice in a while, so I was going to say, hey, what do you think about
that? Yeah, I was letting it ride, because basically, I just want to make sure we answer, like every section we hit, we answer the question that was asked at the beginning, which is basically, can they coexist? So I just want to know, like, where our final answer is on that. And to me, I still think they can coexist. I guess as a overall, like, if you're going to say that, I think maybe, again, Western civilizations might disagree, because we have very skeptical scientists who would not even like the idea of that being said, I think. But It depending on how you see it, the way we're talking about it and the way we see it, then yes, they can coexist, and that's my.
Do you want each of us to answer that?
Yes. It's okay to disagree, by the way.
As far as the word like coexist, I think the word is more relationship, like the relational or causal, one happens and the other happens, as opposed to like one happens and the other happens separately of it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, interesting.
And I understand the science aspect of how Western science would view this as not okay. And then I would just have to say that they are incorrect. It's okay. But only in the idea that, like, because some things were seen as magic before and now they're seen as science, so as far as them being a relationship, that is there. Like, to say that, oh, you, well, like, then it just never was magic. It's like, well, it was still seen as that. That's still a perspective that was there and was held and was believed.
Is believed.
Is.
I feel like the fact that we are currently using electrified meat to like to think about this topic in the first place is kind of magical in itself. Like, we're just these
never thought about myself like that, but
yeah.
Yeah, dude. Just perfectly cooked all the time.
Like, so in that sense, I feel like it is sometimes just a matter of perspective, in the sense that, like, for a kid, right, everything is magical, and then once we think we understand how something works, it stops being magical. So in that sense of the, but that's like, that's not the sense of magic that we're talking about. I feel like I really like the idea of I really, really like that idea of that relationship and that evolutionary process. Like, things appear to us as magical, and then we understand them, and then we catalog it as science, and then so in that sense, I feel like I want to go with the relationship perspective, and kind of stick to my, what I was feeling in the, in terms of like magic and science from a human historical perspective are two sides of the same coin. But then in terms of the institution of science in the West, and how it views magic, I don't think those can coexist necessarily.
As far as I'm concerned, this is like, it's all about your perspective, or, you know, what you're going to perceive as magic and whatnot. Personally, like you guys were kind of saying, is the biggest magic to me, if there could be any kind of magic, is down on a really, really small, minuscule level. Because there's like, the right now, of course, our electric meat is talking through all these different other materials and electricity, and somehow my voice reaches you thousands of whatever miles away. Right, so we can understand why we can do that, but the whole thing is like, if you go smaller than that, right, it's like we don't understand why the meat, you know, can communicate with the electricity. Like, it pulses and does these things, but like, so what gives that information? What generates that information? You know, because that information is generated by almost an intangible brain, you know. So it's like there's something there, there's some underlying principle, there's this physical law that we can't touch yet or know about, and it's, that's the true magic right there. Wonder, and through science and that relationship, that's where magic is for me, and that's how magic exists. But I also do think there are fictional magics at the same time, because logically they just don't work. And those would be things like Spider-Man, you know, just in the way that we know of how spiders work right now, you know, and the venom and stuff, like there would be no reason for it. And the only reason it could be a magic is that if we go down to the very small part and look at why that fucking poison would make him the way that it would be, as if it were a thing. But that would be a fictional magic until we could figure it out, type of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. And one quick thing before we segue, just because when we're referring to Western cultures throughout the podcast, we're referring to like the colonizing cultures that came after, not a lot of like the indigenous cultures. We talked about like Mesopotamian and they're not even over there, but there are other cultures that are over there that looked at magic a lot more similarly to nature, and a lot more similarly to the Asian cultures. But a lot of their cultures were pretty much, you know, thrown out. Yeah. So like now Western culture is a lot more just the colonizer culture with a little dashes of those in there.
Yeah.
Thrown out. That's a little...
hey man, I wanted to put it generously, but I also wanted to put it that it wasn't like, I didn't want to be like, you know, they're pushed to the side. Like, no, they were thrown away. Like,
okay, so we've hit like all the things we hit talked about for the beginning or wanted to talk about. Is there any other point we want to get to before we segue to the more fantasy scenario
food stuff?
Anything else?
I don't know, dude. I might have to power up.
Okay. We got, I'm just letting everyone know we're at the 40 minute mark, so, but let's go ahead and hit the fictional and scenario type stuff. Does anyone have something they'd like to bring up as a scenario? At all?
As far as what context, the scenario for what?
So like for fictional magic. So like one scenario I could think of is like if you could choose a power, which one? What would it be? What would your power be? That would be like the question.
Oh well, I'm gonna go last because I want to hear you guys.
Okay. Oh, we're doing okay. We're doing the question. Let's see.
So some kind of magical ability.
Yeah, just see, well,
anything you want. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything you want.
Yeah.
The favorite power, what, why, you know, it intrigues you, how you for, use it, kind
of
thing.
For the purpose of this, it is any magical ability, because we have said what magic is, and we perceive magic as, you say super speed, that's still considered magic in the context we have described.
Sure, yeah.
So, for me, I'm always stuck between the idea of super speed or teleportation. Because, I mean, teleportation's cool, but, you know, let's say, you know, I'm in a situation. Teleportation's only fast enough if you know what's happening. Super speed, if you don't know what's happening, you could react. And while I might be able to get to the other end of the world faster, I'd rather take a little longer if it means that whenever I'm in danger, I can protect myself. So I think I always have to go. I like super. You just can't beat super speed. Is all I'm saying. Like you just can't.
That's what you think.
No. There's so many things I could do with it. Like, there's so many good things I could, in my perspective, do with it. You know, like earn a little more cash.
Yeah.
Run away. Okay. Honestly, it's just.
What do you mean by earning cash and running away?
That's what I said.
Could do with my life.
That's why I said good things in my.
I could do now.
That's what I'm saying. Good things in my perspective. It's good for me, so it's good.
I was watching a lot of GTA RP.
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about, but. But I'm gonna go ahead and pass the baton whoever wants to go next.
I'll go next. I always want to say controlling time, but it's just so powerful that it's can't do it.
So, I mean, if you want it, but I'm just saying, as an African American, do you really want to be able to go back in time?
That's not off limits.
Yeah, I'd like to go way, way back.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah,
you can go back beyond 400 years, you know?
Yeah. I want to meet Jesus and be like, oh, man, black of the berry, fella. But I'd say not shape-shifting, but like cell-shifting. Huh?
Wait a second. I thought you were talking time manipulation.
No, I would like that to be my power, but it's too powerful. At the end of the day, I know
for you to choose or what?
It's not that it's morally wrong. I know at the end of the day, I would get bored. I'd get so bored, and I would lose my goddamn mind.
I think the worst part about time manipulation is more of like, I'm fine with going back or going forward and changing shit. The only thing is, when you change something and you can't change it back, and you fucked it up, that feels bad.
So this is interesting. You said time manipulation, not time traveling, right?
Okay, what is this? What is this wordplay? Okay.
Well, time manipulation, you could still travel through. If you can manipulate time, right? To me, I could do all of those things.
So time manipulation, that means you can manipulate time in any context, right?
Yeah. See, I think this is why.
So you could control the age of someone. You could control a person's time. You could control things' time. You know, like.
I think that's why it's harder for me is because like time. I think time as a subject to us is like, oh, it's just time. But space, we know what space is, and there's so many different orientations of space, like, oh, whether it's straight, forward, backwards, like, we know all the different aspects of it. So when I say controlling time, there's too many things I can control. Like, I wouldn't just say, oh, I control space. I'd be like, no, I would do this thing or this thing. So it's like,
that's not entirely bad. It's your own superpower.
No, I think it's a cool superpower. I just think I'd get bored because it's like, I would feel, yeah, I would feel unstoppable. So that's also a concept that's always crazy to me. I feel like as like God, I would be bored. There's no way he's not bored out of his mind.
Here's the cool thing about super speed, man. Like, there is a chance that I might be able to manipulate time as well. See? But like, not crazy amounts. Just enough to fuck it.
Yeah. And still play with it and be like, oh, I can do it, but at least it's like, oh, I don't know, I'll be walking, it's like, oh, I'm about to die, and I'm like, no, I'm not. Oh, you have to do this. No, I don't.
Or is super speed just you slowing down the world around you and you're still at your same pace?
Oh, we could talk about Quicksilver and about how his brain moves at that speed, so it's actually that everything he processes and his whole movements are at that speed, so the entire world just looks slow to him. I don't know how fast Quicksilver moves. Probably a little bit slower than Flash. I don't know how they fight against each other and who they made faster.
I don't know. Flash is fucking fast.
I know he's fast, but I know Quicksilver is also super fast. But Quicksilver's boost is that he's super smart because his brain also moves at that speed.
You know the difference between Quicksilver and Flash? Huh? Quicksilver, wait, are they the same universe? No. Okay.
Yeah. Because
according to Google, in terms of just pure speed and their respective universes, the Flash is technically faster. Quicksilver's has been seen at a top speed of 4 or 5 times the speed of sound.
That's not very fast.
Yeah, Quicksilver.
It's not me.
Times the speed of sound.
But like Flash's brain,
it's not the speed of dark. So,
but yeah, so that's why I'd pick not shape shifting, but like cell shifting, if that makes sense. I don't want to actually have to always turn into the full animal, but if I can just manipulate certain parts,
you
can
throw
a fucking dildo or something too.
Yep.
That sounds like a Robot Chicken clip episode. What was the What was that like old cartoon where they power of and they were like you could transform into anything or something?
Wonder Twins.
Yeah.
Form of a bucket of water.
Yeah.
God.
So cell manipulation time. So you want to be a bucket of water?
Hell yeah. Smash that.
Well, you could make yourself inorganic.
Oh.
If you could manipulate your cell to be something inorganic, I guess. So.
If you made yourself inorganic, would you die?
Die?
Yeah, would it just be cell death? Like,
depends. Could you
in a
shift,
bucket forever.
Could you or shift between silicone and carbon life forms? Could you do that? So, because if it's cell manipulation, I mean, if you shift from carbon, which what we are, to something silicon, which is theoretically possible, and of course we don't know if there's other ones out there, but
yeah, if I knew how it functioned as a life form, it would work.
Could you make yourself look like a security guard or a bank teller?
Yeah.
At this point, with this set of power, you could turn into anything, any matter. You could turn into a bench or, you know, something like that, because then you could switch between any cell or type.
They have to be relatively the same size as Tyen, though.
I don't know. It depends.
Would you risk like creating more, like something out of nothing? Like he couldn't turn into a building.
Well, let's say so. If it's cell manipulation, then does that mean he can transform cell density or cell density, you know, and all that other stuff? Because if it's full cell manipulation, if he could do cell density or cell volume or cell size and things like that.
Oh my gosh, just have fat ass cells. Yeah.
Well, you could multiply cells too, right?
Yeah.
Wait, could you cure? You could cure cancer? Yeah. You're sounding pretty useful, buddy. did you have? Oh, are you done, Tan?
Okay. Oh no, I'm done. Yeah, it's on to one of them too.
Do you have any idea?
Oh, you're last. That's right.
Yeah, I think I've been thinking a lot about like magical artifacts. Like the concept of the wand is something that I've been thinking about through like this conversation and when we talked about powers, because
it's your wand, Harry.
On the one hand, like I always thought it was so cool growing up, the idea of like a magical wand, like having this physical like totem or artifact through which you could channel like this power. Then at the same time, it also felt really limiting, right? Like, what if my wand breaks, or what if it, like, I lose it, or I don't have it? Like, I want to be able to have some kind of inherent power too that I don't need a tool for.
Yeah. Well, I guess the question would be: what it does the wand empower you, or does it let you?
Is an extension.
Yeah. Cool. So that's the thing. Is like I the way that I came around to it was to think of it as like you have the inherent, quote unquote, magical power, with or without the wand. And I guess I kind of see the wand as like a something to channel and like and concentrate that, like a magnifying glass in specific directions.
So Green Lantern, but as an inherent talent.
Right? Exactly.
Because the Green Lantern still needs the ring and stuff, so without the negatives. It's just your inherent talent, power, like born ability.
I would say it's good that that you don't always have to use it, because it look really suspicious in the thing.
But I think I had to mention the wand, just because I even got an overpriced one when I went to Universal Studios.
Your wand was my sword and shield, dude. Like, I was always like, that was my shit, dude. When I was growing up, sword and shield, dude. Fucking stick and like a piece of cardboard. Holy shit, man. I was slaying bushes and shit, dude.
Yeah, and then you heard from the back, did you be fucking cutting my flower?
Chopping lemons off the tree, dude. Yeah. Watch out!
It's beautiful. But in terms of like general magical power, I feel like I've always just loved the idea of flight. I know it's very stereotypical in terms of abilities, but flight just feels like the dream for me. And now I'm kind of thinking about, like, from the scientific perspective, like electromagnetic fields, and if that could, like, the interaction between your electrons and the basically like the matter around you, if there could be like some kind of cascading repulsion that leads to some ability to fly. I don't know, I'm probably talking out of my butt.
You're fine. We're talking about powers here. Yeah, flying. I think flying is cool too, because I'm afraid of height. But if I could fly, I would no longer be afraid.
Oh, yeah.
Would be nice though, like you said, if it was also something that could be reflexive, or like if I was, like if I was hit, for example, in the head, and I was falling towards the ground, like if there could be, or if I was caught off guard and I fell, like if it could be something that kicks in without necessarily my conscious emergency effort.
Hover. Yeah.
Yeah, like emergency hover, so I don't smash my face in the concrete.
See, the only thing, flying is a cool superpower, and flying would be really cool to do. It's just I'm not a scenic person, So when you ask me superpowers, I'm like, oh, I could fly or I could teleport. I'm gonna teleport.
I'm honestly just trying to think of the best way to abuse my powers. And I can't abuse flight that much. Yeah,
so my power is very OP, and it abuses everything and pretty much incorporates all of your powers into one.
All right.
Okay, my lord.
If we were in the Overlord anime,
yeah,
I would be the Overlord with this power.
Okay.
So, the power is the control and complete mastery manipulation over quarks. So, you guys know what quarks are.
Yeah.
Vaguely.
So, quarks are the smallest unit of matter and thing that we can detect. Even smaller than atoms, it's way smaller.
They're moving through us right now, right?
It's quarks, it's in everything. It's
like force in.
It's insane. But so what these quarks? The complete manipulation over quarks gives me unlimited speed. I can move at the fastest we've ever witnessed, which is almost instant. It is true teleportation. So when you talk about teleportation, or a lot of people do, translocation is actually what they mean. The only time we have ever seen a true instance of teleporting is with quarks, because quarks just in an instant are somewhere else. And it's almost even, it's pretty much, but so translocation, or through string theory, and this is how it is proposed to make teleportation, but it would actually be translocation, is that they would create a machine that could break you down into your most raw material. Okay, and over this, with spooky action at a distance through string theory, on the other end where you would translocate to, you would then be rebuilt with the new material. So you would be there. That is translocation, right? But so true teleportation, though, is that there is no breaking down. There is no thing like that. It's quarks is so much smaller than that, that it is, when you see it, a quark can actually act faster or more precise or even quicker than an atom can when changing on a different ring between each other, like electrons and all that. Like, they're even quicker than them changing. So, and quarks, you could move fast. Now, also with mastery over quarks, I'll explain it through string theory, is that with string theory, like I was saying, is that they would, you know, calculate your raw material, right? Now, in calculating your raw material, they could see why you would have AIDS or HIV or any sort of ailment that could be, you know, impairing you. And when they reconstruct you on the other side, why would you include that? So with the mastery over quarks, even on a smaller level than that type of theory,
you just change that while you're there.
You could be immortal if you wanted to. Over quarks, so you could live forever, and then you could experience time. You could move very fast. You know,
essentially, you become, you're no longer flesh. You're
energy.
Yeah, you're the energy that are attached to these quarks. That these quarks are essentially, I picture this entire grid, but there's no space between them, and that's what quarks are, and you're
sounds
attached.
Sounds like Dr. Manhattan.
You just kind of move through it as you please.
It would let me, like, choose if I wanted to manifest, you know, because I could choose to present my quarks in a location or not. It would also allow me to be in multiple places at the same time. So I could almost be infinite because of how quick quarks can move. I could basically be doing Shadow Clone Jutsu fucking everywhere, dude, if I wanted to.
Like,
have y'all seen Watchmen?
Yes.
You're describing Dr. Manhattan, like...
That's pretty much... That would pretty much be my, like, exactly. My OP power. Because with this power, at the same time, if I ever got bored or decided it wasn't worth it, or my exploration was over or like anything like that, like I could even choose to end it, you know. Or like if I also had
end existence
myself, whatever, you know, because I would have true and complete control and mastery over Quarks.
You better never introduce yourself to Batman. He'll make a plan and accidentally give it to a group of maybe those.
I could just erase
Batman. Yeah, dude, that's the biggest thing that I hate about DC. You're like, Batman's thought of all these plans, and like, why don't you just get rid of Batman?
it's a very godlike power, yeah. Or whatever, but it would allow me to experience anything and anything, like everything that I wanted to, like on my terms, without like detriment of ever getting hurt or dying or like anything, unless I choose it to happen. It's just like complete control. I don't know. Plus, I love quantum physics, science shit, and it just is. You know.
See, that's one of those powers that I think is really, really cool, but I would get so bored.
Well, so maybe. The only thing is you're gonna get bored anyway.
Yeah,
I have more time to experience it.
Yeah.
would you even have emotions at that point? Like, with that fundamental understanding of reality, like, how would that shape the way that you viewed the world?
We don't know. And that's why I want it.
You would not have emotions, because emotions are something that are relational. So unless there's other creatures that are like him for him to relate to and have an understanding and connection to, he wouldn't. So unless he was like still loved everybody back home, like,
well, so in
for like the first 5 minutes, but after that you're like, once you experience something like that and you have an understanding like that, it's very hard to ever relate to anybody again.
Yeah. So the context of how I would have this be presented as my own power is that I can manipulate it, right? But I am fundamentally a person, so I always present myself in human like form and stuff. So like, that's how it would be for me, but like, I mean, I could change, I could do anything I wanted to, but what's to say, like, I mean, because fundamentally right now, there's a way of thinking, right? It's like, the smarter you get, the unhappier you get, right? Because you understand the way shit is. But, you know, there are smart people and value happiness, so they can choose, you know, ignorance and things like that, and like, they can erase it and things like that. They can generate it in their own way, and I think it all depends, like, because this has never happened, nobody knows. It's like, it depends what's the power of that value when you do become something like this, right? It's not to say that because you could experience everything and be also powerful and not be able to relate to anybody, well, it's like, I mean, I do present myself in human form, so it's like I would be able to, I guess, somewhat relate to them, but I would know I'd be different and I'd be godlike compared to them. But I mean, with the way that would present itself, it's like, we don't know, like, because the situation has never happened, like, that you would be unhappy or happy or not, you know. It's one of those mysteries, but it's, you know, we're not OP. I mean, humans are actually very fucking fragile. I mean, they are durable, but we're also fragile as fuck at the same time. Like, if we 1v1 the lion, we're done, son. But, I mean, we've never really been, like, super OP, I guess, like, physically or, like, those things, and we are still limited by our lifespans. So, like, I would want, there's so much more, like, I would be able to sacrifice my humanity as it is right now, a short humanity, at my chance to experience eternity. But at the same time, I could choose it to end it at any time, because control over Quarks, I could, you know, and it's done. But
we've hit the hour mark, but I want to speed run just one more question. You guys are fine with that?
Yeah.
Let's just what is the dumbest thing you would use your power for?
Oh, dude. I don't know, dude. I'd fucking like rip y'all back in time to experience like World of Warcraft and shit when it first came out, you know? like weird shit like that. I don't know, dude. Like, I want to show you all the fucking titties I've seen, you know, like different, I don't know. There's like a lot of weird. it's all limited to what, you know, whatever you can think of, dude. But that's some dumb shit I would do. I'd use it for a lot of fun. Doing weird shit.
I'm trying to think of something really. I guess the dumbest thing I would do it for was like, I prefer online classes, but if I actually had this power, I would have all my classes inside, and I would make sure to steal the answer key every time.
Dude, let me tell you, like, a scenario for me, dude. If I, like, with my power, dude, I would take an online course, right? And if I started failing, although I wouldn't, but, you know, if I started failing, dude, I could just kill the teacher and I would pass, you know? Like,
wait, what?
You could just eliminate it, you know? Like,
wait, what do you
say?
I thought there was like so many other things you could have did, like
is that not a human thing, right?
I thought you'd say you'd like reconstruct like the site in itself and like make it like be a kill the teacher, I guess. That's
well,
the
line. So all right, so if you wanted to be super OP, I could just reconstruct his mind to think that I was right, you know? You know, so like I could do something like that because I have control over all those quirks. I could just reconstruct the chemicals in his mind that make him think I'm wrong to being I'm right. You know, like I could do things like that, but I mean, like, we're talking stupid shit. So like, fuck you, Mr. Garrison. Like, you know, like, should I kill him? I don't know. I could probably do some dumb shit. And if, you know, if I had mastery over quirks, what's to say I couldn't just bring him back to life? Like, I don't know. Generate what's making him living to, I don't know.
Oh, I feel so. Every time you guys say something
like absorb a book through your hand,
yeah, let's fucking put like a fucking flash drive in my fucking face and learn the contents of it.
I guess another dumb thing I would do would be like, now every time you guys say something stupid and I say, dude, I should slap you for saying that, I could actually just go slap you and come back. It'd be even better if you guys didn't know I had the power, so then you're just like, what the fuck just happened?
Dude, I'd probably make it too, like, you know, like, every time you said a word, you felt the pain of your nipples being pierced. Like some dumb shit, dude.
I would probably shapeshift into some of y'all's parents.
you know how much nipple pain you just experienced? You know how much experience, like, nipple pain you had to go through to say what you just said?
Oh, I feel so good.
Why would you turn into our parents? Okay, you need to finish that. You can't just say turn into our parents.
Okay, I'm picturing this. It's like turning into Rose's mom and just being like, you clean up that kitchen yet?
Okay.
What?
The dishes. The dishes, mama. The dishes.
Tyrell, it's time to get off Big Legend. Clean your fucking room.
Okay.
Dumb powers or dumb uses of powers?
That's probably the best way to use them.
Right? Most fun uses of powers?
Besides eliminating my refractory period, maybe having the power to be able to, like, to watch a movie, and then if I really liked it, to be able to watch it again but forget it. You can experience it for the first time.
This would be like the power of nostalgia, dude. You'd be able to experience the shit for the second time, like... That's what I was saying, dude. I'd bring you guys back for fucking World of Warcraft, dude.
Oh my god, I can use the cell manipulation to make my dick prehensile.
Oh. Dude, you could make your dick fuck people from so far away. Or like through things and shit.
Okay, on that note. On that note, we've gone past our time limit. PTK is going to go ahead and end the part-time rambles. This has been Stuffums, Tyan, Kyle, and your boy Connor. Thank you guys for listening.
Wall morphing wieners.